certainly is a lot in our gospel for us to reflect upon today. We certainly see that as the disciples are going about their ministry at the stage and in their lives, they go way up to northern Israel, this beautiful place, and they have this talk, and Jesus simply asks them to see, to check in with them where they are at in their faith. Who do you say that I am? So they start to tell him what they other people are saying, at least, and what they perhaps might think. But it's Peter who comes forward and says, no, I'm starting to get this now, Jesus. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. And so Jesus recognizes that, tells them not to tell anyone. That might be a little bit confusing, but it's thought that Jesus wanted, as the gospel was proclaimed in the new church after the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, and as they went out and proclaimed it, told people about Jesus, or reminded those who knew Jesus about him, they could see the whole picture now through his death and through his resurrection and the purpose that all served. And so it'd be much easier to come to faith in Jesus in that way. But Peter decides to kind of sway Jesus from his mission. You know, we can see this really comes out of love, because Peter loved Jesus. He didn't want him to die. What's this talk about death? No, we want you with us for a long, long time, Jesus. But Jesus knows that something else is coming. There's a greater sacrifice that's going to be demanded of Jesus himself. A sacrifice of love to the Father to atone for our sins. And that's his death on the cross. And so Peter doesn't see it, but of course Jesus does, that there is a little temptation going on there, that Satan's using Peter to tempt Jesus to give up on his mission. And so Jesus, I'm sure, in a loving way, quietly rebukes him and says, tries to open Peter's eyes to what's really going on. You know, this week I was doing some shopping, and I went down to Menards, which was the store that I used to work at way back in my college days. And so as I was inside the store getting some stuff, I decided to walk out the back of the store into their yard, where they have all the landscaping materials and stuff like that, because that's where I used to work when I worked for the company that treated me pretty well. And when I went back, I had all these flashbacks, all these memories of 20 years ago, you know, as I was going through college and spending my summers there. And one of the things that I did was I worked out in the warehouse out there, which was kind of open-ended on each side. There wasn't any doors. You could drive right through with your car and pick up what you needed. But I worked in the lumber aisle, and so I was responsible for helping load up people's lumber and stock those areas where that lumber was. And it was always a nice job, I thought. But there were other areas of the yard that you didn't want to work in, and I was walking by those too. And as I saw some of those areas, I had to laugh at some of the memories that I had. I remember one day when I was working, I was coming back from my lunch break and walking through the yard, and I was walking by this other aisle, and this was kind of the paver aisle. This aisle, if you've seen it at Menards or any Home Depot or something, there's usually a paver aisle where they store all the concrete blocks, whether they're paver stones or the big retaining wall blocks. It's a hard aisle to work in. There's usually one guy assigned to that aisle, and he has to work pretty hard. So no one wanted it, you know, and you kind of dreaded it if you were assigned that aisle. I never was, so I was grateful for that. But when I was walking through on that particular day way back, I noticed that there was this pallet, and it was kind of high up, and one of the bandings had broken on the pallet. And so you could see these paver stones, you know, there's probably 1,000 of them, these little concrete stones on a pallet, and it was leaning precariously, and someone was going to get hurt. And so I saw this, and I thought, well, I certainly got to tell a manager about this. So I remember running into the warehouse office there and grabbing one of my managers and saying, hey, come on, you got to go come look at this. This is going to be a huge problem. And so as soon as I pointed it out, he agreed, and he said, oh, yeah, that's got to be taken care of right away. That's a huge safety violation. I thought, yeah, that's good. And as I started to walk off, he said, oh, and Sean, why don't you take care of that? I thought, but yeah, I'm in the wood aisle though, remember? And he's like, no, that guy's on lunch. This needs to be taken care of now. So that was my introduction to the aisle. But, you know, I thought, oh no, it was an incredibly hot day. I know taking that pallet down and restacking that whole pallet on a new pallet was going to take at least a good 2 hours of work and a lot of sweat. And I, you know, was thinking of that as I had that memory because I was thinking of the gospel today. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know, as St. James tells us in our second reading, doing good works can be something that's enjoyable and rewarding, like it was for me loading up people's cars in my wood aisle. Or, on the other hand, it can be very demanding and challenging as restocking that pallet of blocks that day. Yeah, aisle A, or the wood aisle, was never across for me, but that hour spent in the block aisle certainly was. And yet I had to do it. I had to do it to be obedient. I had to do it if I wanted that paycheck at the end of the week. You know, when we think about that little analogy from my past, when we think about our lives, we know that in life, the crosses that we are given are not always easy to carry. Many of us may not understand them. We continually, you know, ask ourselves why, or ask God why. And sometimes we'll not get that explanation until we are in heaven where it will all make sense to us. But if we carry them well, just like a paycheck at the end of the week, we'll receive an eternal reward at the end of our life, and we'll see how we've grown, how those crosses helped us to grow. Many times, though, during life, mostly because we're frustrated and we don't understand the crosses we carry, and they can come in a variety of ways. They can hit us physically or emotionally or psychologically. Doesn't matter. Everyone has a cross. But many times, we'll hate our crosses. We'll hate the trials, the temptations that we struggle with in life because they're painful. And these crosses sometimes can be hard to carry. We'll want to switch them. We'll want to give up. We'll want to quit. But at those times, we have to think that there is a purpose here. For some reason, this perhaps is being allowed by God because it will help me in some way. We think about Jesus in our gospel today. What would have happened if Jesus would have listened to Peter and refused his mission, refused to take up his cross and carry it? Well, we would not be saved. You know, as I was leaving the store that day and going through the checkout and getting back in my car and thinking about that memory I just shared with you, another memory hit me of that day, and it was that, you know, as I was grumbling and complaining about why I had to do this and stacking these pallets and sweating on that day, you know, and this isn't even my aisle, and, you know, all of a sudden I got a little poke on my shoulder, and it was the guy who had the aisle. He had come back from lunch. I didn't even realize it. He asked me, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I've been told to restack this pallet because it's dangerous." And he said, "Well, let me give you a hand." And so he helped me, and we finished up rather quickly. Well, the same is true for us who carry those crosses in life with Jesus. God will not leave us orphaned. You know, as I said, we all have crosses, but those who have a relationship with Jesus will have his help in carrying those crosses. Those who don't have a relationship with Jesus or don't want one, their crosses will be extremely heavy because they don't have that help. But another benefit in carrying these heavy items that day with the help of my coworker now was that, you know, in that hour, I got a pretty good workout, you know. Despite the pain, you know, I'd like to think that I grew a little bit stronger, got in better shape. Our own crosses, as I said, will strengthen our spirits so that we can persevere through the trials of life with the help, of course, of the Lord. And so let us remember, too, that just as I wasn't in that block aisle forever, that I did switch back to my wood aisle, that most trials do not last forever. Yes, some do, but in the end, they all make us stronger. In each trial, there is a blessing, even if it remains hidden. as there is in each good work we do. Let us remember, as St. James tells us today, we show that we show the Lord and others that we have true faith by our good works. And one of our good works can be our willingness to carry our crosses in life. Some might say, well, isn't my faith or belief in God enough? You know, do I have to carry a cross? Do I have to do good works? And I just put my faith in Jesus. Isn't that enough? And, you know, I heard one preacher say one time that, no, it really isn't. Because when you think about it, even Satan and all his devils down there, the demons in hell, also believe in God and believe he is the Son of God. So they have that faith too, right? So as St. James says, faith without any kind of good works to back it up is really dead. And so to demonstrate our faith without works to one impossible, or to one another, is impossible. And so let us today demonstrate our faith to God and one another from our good works and carrying our cross with trust in the Lord, so that we can continue to draw others into the loving arms of Christ.